This Sunday, the Gospels introduce us to a parable that is all about humility. And I would just like to spend just a couple minutes, because I may probably actually give you a shorter homily, mainly because the more I talk, the more I feel the tickle in my throat. And that's not good. So the question of humility is actually a very subtle question. And I say subtle because I still remember many years past knowing that I had to try to be humble. I mean, we all know, gosh, I need to work on my humility. By the way, you remember that song? I can't remember. Oh, Lord, it's hard to be humble. Who's that by? It went, oh, Lord, it's hard to be humble when you're perfect in every way. I can't wait to look in the mirror. I get better looking each day. To know me is to love me. I must be one heck of a man. Oh, Lord, it's hard to be humble, but I'm doing the best that I can. Remember that song? Yeah, I don't remember who it was by. But anyway, it's funny because the word humble, we almost take it as a joke. Even that song takes it as a kind of a joke. But humility, I'm going to give you the best definition of humility that I have. And that is integrated truth. Humility equals integrated truth. Now, I'm going to unpack that. But first, I want to say a couple of things about the gospel, which are very interesting in the gospel. Did you notice this Pharisee? There's a sentence in the gospel that's really an amazing sentence. When you look deeper into it, the gospel sentence says, the Pharisee took up his position and spoke this prayer to himself. Now, there's a way of interpreting that in a very normal way. Take your positions. Take your positions. But I think, given this guy's behavior, you can look deeper. Notice, he took up his position. Now, contrasted to the other dude, the other guy. The other guy doesn't even dare to come into the temple. He's way in the back. He doesn't take up his position. This guy takes up his position. He's in the house of God. And he is going in the house of God, and he is taking his position. There's a certain amount of arrogance in that. You know, I deserve this. I take my position. Now, we can say in modern lingo, well, you know, he was just being self-assertive. Yeah, you think? That's maybe fine with people, but you don't do that with God. Listen to that. Self-assertive. And even when you listen to the other words, the other two words that are related, self-righteous. Listen to that. What you're actually saying is, I declare myself to be righteous before God. Righteous means I am correct. I am in good standing with God. And how do I know that? Because I declare it to be so. And so this guy arrogantly comes into God's house, takes his position, doesn't even have any thought about not being worthy, and he then proceeds to say a prayer to himself. Now, you could take that saying, well, he was saying it quietly. Or, There's another saying that I really enjoy. And that saying is this: God made us in his image and likeness, and we never cease returning the favor. God made us in his image and likeness, and we never cease returning the favor. Meaning what? Meaning that this guy had created God in his head as an image of God in his head. And what he was actually doing, he was praying to the image of God that he had created, which is really an idealized image of himself. So he prayed to himself as he took up his position. And in his own mind, to this God that he has made up, he is righteous. He is right. And then he gives you the evidence. I fast twice a week. It wasn't mandatory. I give more than enough to the church or to the temple. I do this and this and this. Therefore, this. Now, that is a position of arrogance. Plus, it's not only a position of arrogance. It's stupid. Now, please understand, I just told you the definition of humility that I like: integrated truth. There are people who don't really care about the truth. What they care about is what they think, regardless of what the truth may be. There are people in the world that don't want to know the truth. And they are so self-assured of what they know that they could not ever imagine that the truth is greater than them. And so they are, of course, self-assertive. But self-assertive to the point of being stupid. You know, periodically I meet people like that. I'm not saying anyone by name. But you meet people, I meet people sometimes, and that I know they have an opinion that is wrong. They're wrong on the facts, or they're wrong on some other aspect. But boy, do they assert themselves. This is it. And when I meet someone like that, I just hang back. I think they're really stupid, but I smile. Sometimes I have called them stupid, but it doesn't work very well because they don't recognize their own stupidity. Why do I call stupid? Now, please understand, that's a pretty harsh word. But one of the things that Jesus was not known for was not using harsh words. Sometimes I think we take Jesus and we make him into, you know, sort of the sweet Jesus, which everything was just said. This is the man, and I have a saying in my Bible that I wrote down, and it says, when anybody asks you, what would Jesus do, remind them that making a whip and turning over tables and throwing people out of a place is an option. Okay? And because Jesus, this is a guy who calls the Pharisees at one time brood of vipers, and calls them blind leading the blind. This is Jesus was not afraid of using hard language when he needed to. And when a person is being arrogant, and that's really the only thing that God dislikes, is stupid arrogance. An arrogance that doesn't want to know the truth. And that's the problem with the Pharisees. That's why Jesus got so angry with them. Jesus was not angry when people were unintentionally misinformed or unintentionally ignorant. He was very calm and very patient with that. But it's when people are actively seeking to destroy the truth in order that they may cling to their opinions because their opinions cannot, they can't let go of them without undermining their whole personality structures. There are people whose experiences of life and self-concept of life is so built on a lie that they prefer the lie to having to restart the very self-concept of themselves. And that's when Jesus was very intense. He was very intense because he realized that with some people, you just can't be nice. I mean, it's not, I'm not telling you not to go out of your way to be rude, but there is a time in which hard stances are called for. So, and I leave that to you, you know, when do you cross the line between just being rude and taking a hard stand? I don't know the answer to that, but I know that there is a time and a place to take a hard stance. And it's also, there's a time and a place that you take a hard stance and then you find out you were wrong. I have done that several times in my life. And I've taken a hard stance with somebody and then I realized that I didn't need to have done that and I had to apologize. And so I'm not telling you that it's easy, but I'm telling you that hard words are sometimes appropriate. So, humility, what is it? Well, integrated truth. Now, why do I say integrated truth? Because there are different kinds of truth. There are truths that you can know intellectually, but they are not integrated into yourself. I remember when I was younger, I would try to be humble. But then I tried to be humble and I was thinking, oh, I gotta be humble, gotta be humble. And then I think, oh, I'm finally humble. I'm so proud of that. And you go, oh, geez, I just messed it up. And, you know, I tried to be humble, okay, and the moment I felt humble, you screwed it up. Right? So the point is, stop it. Stop trying to be humble. Stop it. Don't even try to be humble. So what am I telling you to do? I'm telling you to seek the truth about yourself. And when you seek the truth about yourself, in front of God, not the truth you want to be true, the truth that actually is true in the sight of God. When God gives you the grace to see that, when God gives you the grace to see the truth of yourself before God, you are going to feel so small that you will have no need to try to be humble. And the reason is you find out that compared to God, you can't be anything but humble. Why? Because you finally realize the truth about yourself and it hit the core of who you are. It hit the core. And when you hit the core of who you are, and you're able to let go of all the fake things about yourself that you try to make believe even to yourself, when you realize that your, quote, self-esteem is not based on any of that stuff that you think you're so hot at, but that your self-esteem is based only on the fact that you have a Father who loves you, and your dignity is based not on your achievements, but on the fact that you are His daughter or His son. that you are loved, not because you are good at something, but you are loved because you are his son or daughter. And when you understand that and you stop comparing yourself to others and your dignity comes from that integrated realization, then humility, you won't even have to try, because you'll know you're nothing without him. And that's how you get to be humble. So you got to stop trying to be humble and just ask God to help you to see the truth about yourself in his eyes. Now notice, this guy in the gospel, he had a vision of himself. But boy, was it an illusion, because he thought he was wonderful before God, but he had not gotten the truth. And so, you know, when you do that, you come to realize the double thing. The double thing is, before God, let me back up here. One of my favorite gospel passages is when Jesus is talking in a parable, and in the parable, Jesus says, when you have done all that you have been asked to do, respond, I am a useless servant. I have done nothing more than my duty. I am a useless servant. I have done nothing more than my duty. Now I know, in the context of the day in which we live, to call yourself a useless servant is not kosher. It's not self-affirmative. Well, that's what you are, and that's what I am. In God's eyes, if God wants us to use us, he will. But if he wants to totally bypass us, he has no obligation to use us. He has no obligation. I still remember the first time I really learned that in myself as a priest was, I was a young priest and I was running to the hospital to give the anointing of the sick to someone who was dying. And I still remember I was hungry and I stopped at a Burger King to get something to eat, and then immediately I went on to the hospital. And when I got there, the man had just passed away. And I will never forget the beating I gave myself. If I would not have been so selfish and stopped for a Burger King Whopper, if I would have not been so selfish, I could have gotten there before that man died. How could I? And I'll never forget. I had to get some counseling because I was so down on myself. And finally, after a few weeks of counseling, and it wasn't the counselor who did it, I remember having a come to Jesus moment. And that's when Jesus calls you over and says, come here, come here. And this wasn't a revelation. I didn't have any apparition. I just remember inside myself feeling like, oh my God, I'm being talked to by him. And basically this is what he said. He said, first he cleared his throat. He said, excuse me, Mario. He doesn't call me Father. And he says, excuse me, Mario. We seem to have a basic confusion here. You see, I am God and you are not. I know that sometimes it's hard to realize that, okay? But I am God and you are not. So the other day when you were going to the hospital, I could have chosen to allow my sick servant to remain a couple of minutes, allowing for your arrival so that you could do your anointing of the sick. But I chose not to. And excuse me, I had no responsibility to do that to you or for you. If I wanted to take my servant to me before you arrived, that's my business. Your business is to do your job, to do it well, and to do it rationally. And if I choose to not use you at a moment, well, excuse me. I didn't want to use you. I didn't need you. Thank you very much. But if I needed to use you, I would have held on before calling him. And so let's remember that. You do your ministry. You do it well. You had to stop. You were hungry. That's fine. But I will do what I want to do. I am God and you're not. And I still remember, after he finished talking, basically say, yes, sir. Just, yes, sir. But notice what happened in that moment. It was an unconscious moment that I thought that my priestly action was limiting God. And that if I didn't get there, God would not be able to act because I had not been there with the sacrament. And what God was saying is, you don't limit me. I can do whatever I wish. And I am not limited by your sins, and I am not limited by your limitations as a human being. That's one of the days that I integrated truth. Because I figured, oh my God, I'm not that important. I'm not that important. And you know what? It gave me freedom. It gave me freedom. Because as long as I was that important, I just thought I had to do everything. Okay? I had a professor in graduate school who used to say, gentlemen, he was talking to priests, and he was saying, gentlemen, we say the sun rises and the sun sets, but nobody really believes that, do they? We all know it's just a way of talking, right? Nobody knows, say the sun rises and the sun sets. And we say, isn't the moonlight beautiful tonight? But nobody really believes that, do we? We know that there's no such thing as moonlight. It's a way of talking. And we call you priests, but nobody really believes that. Because you see, there is one priest, and that is Jesus Christ. And you, my brothers and sisters, are you my brothers? He said, you are but a dim reflection of the original. I have never been so happy to be a dim reflection of anything. And that's what we are. And once you integrate that truth into your life, that you're not God, that you're not in charge of almost anything, that you should do your job the best that you know how, and once you've done whatever you're supposed to do, say inside yourself, I am a useless servant. I have done nothing more than my duty. And the more people praise you for doing what you did, the more loudly you need to say it to yourself. You accept the praise and go, thank you, and then underneath your breath, yeah, you're full of it. And just go on. Because that's the only way you're going to achieve true humility. What is humility? Integrated truth.